to do with your money, don't fucking tell me what to do with mine, okay?
I'm not as dumb as you think I am.
I will defend myself.
He means it, sweetheart.
Well, that's because you're an idiot.
I will fight and win because I am the most intelligent.
You sure about that? You sure about that?
I got something I want to say. A lot of you motherfuckers
think you know who Kenny Powers is. Well, I'm here today to tell y'all you don't know shit.
Oh, I give up. You're gonna get yourself killed, and this time I won't be able to save you.
I make you laugh. I'm a clown. I amuse you. I'm here to fucking amuse you.
Come on, don't bullshit me.
Then go ahead and go. But I'm not gonna stop yelling, because then that'll mean I lost the fight. So, please leave a key under the mat. I love y'all very much. Peace out.
Serenity now! Serenity now!
What you've just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Okay, a simple wrong would have done just fine, but...
This makes no sense.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Wedgehead Pinball Podcast. My name is Alan, the host of the Wedgehead Pinball Podcast and one of the owners of Wedgehead, a pinball bar in Portland, Oregon. I'm joined today by a special guest to do his Die on the Hill game, Mr. John Dozier of Inner Orbit Pinball. Welcome, John. What game are you here to defend?
We're going to talk some Space Jam.
Space Jam. So Space Jam is a pinball machine released by Sega in 1996, based upon the popular movie starring Michael Jordan and the Looney Tunes. Design credits via Pinsight are given to the trio of Joe Kamenkow, Lonnie Ropp, and Oren Day. Lonnie and Oren are also the programmers of the game, and Joe Kamenkow was rarely credited as a solo designer of any of his games, but it is sort of unusual to see three names attached. But then I went on IPDB, the Internet Pinball Database, and it's listed as a Joe Balser with Joe Kamenkow collab design. It's almost like nobody really wanted to take full blame for this game, is what I see in like my research. It's currently only one approved rating on Pinsight away from joining the official rankings list, but with 49 approved reviews, it has an average score of 6.624, which would currently rank it number 280 out of 290 ranked machines. And that would make this the lowest rated game that anyone has ever defended on this show. Are you ready, John?
I'm not sure anymore. That sounds pretty rough.
Okay, so just tell me about Space Jam. Why you love Space Jam, what's the good about Space Jam, and, you know, plead your case to the listeners, people that have maybe even never played it before.
Okay, I'm going to try. I will admit that most of this is based on nostalgia. Space Jam as a kid was my life. I remember getting a cassette tape, I was probably in first grade, I don't know, and just blaring the music through the house. Loved the movie, so that shouldn't have so much to do with my game rating, but it definitely does. I cannot separate the nostalgia from it. But I do think it's a fun game. It's a pretty fanny layout. It's very approachable. It's got a really fun toy with the basket. And I love that, the vertical up kicker that shoots it into that half ball, and it can divert it a couple different ways. I think the skill shot is pretty cool. And a lot of people don't know you can cycle your reward with your left flipper to go through the hoop.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so I mean, it makes the game even easier for multi-ball. Like, you can get locks from that and stuff. But I just think it's a really fun game. If you take pinball super seriously, I think a lot of these Die on the Hill games kind of fall apart, but it's pure fun to me, and I am a sucker for those showcase cabinet Translite heads.
Nice. For sure. What John is talking about is this was the era of Sega Pinball. They were previously Data East Pinball, and now they are known as Stern Pinball today. So this was a period where they made a few games with a concave back glass. So instead of the glass being flat, it was convex, I guess. It was convex, so it would bulge out. A very strange shape that I think was meant to draw attention in an arcade. But I'm sure operator, and you're an operator, you have one of these, right? Like,
yeah, Yeah, I do.
Does it suck to move with that it shape does. Of the head? Yeah.
They built in this weird, dumb arm system that kind of folds down to make that glass part flat. Not the glass part, but it'll be an arm to kind of just have a flat resting place on the glass when you fold it down. And mine's bent to shit just because it's, I think probably all of them had to have been just from moving them around, and it's supporting the weight on this little bar. But yeah, not ideal for moving games at all.
Yeah, it's definitely a form over function type of design choice there.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it worked at the time. I mean, Data East, which became Sega, which is now Stern, Gary Stern ran all three of those companies, and he's always been about licensing. And one of the designers, Joe Kamenkow, he's famous for getting great licenses. So, you know, when this game was made, as John was saying, Space Jam was a massive movie. If you were born, you know, if you're a 2000s mm-hmm. kid, maybe you don't realize that, but like in the 90s, as a 90s kid, it was a big deal. Like, I remember going to see Space Jam in the theater. It was a big deal. I love Space Jam, the movie, and we'll still put it on the screens at Wedgehead because people in our age group will go crazy for it. They love nice. Seeing that on the screen, right? Like, so it's kind of it was kind of our generation's like Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Like, it's got that sort of like 2D animation mixed with live action, you know, in this case, Michael Jordan, when he's still Michael Jordan, the most famous mm-hmm. athlete in the whole world. So, but yeah, what, you know, anything else you want to talk about Space Jam, the pinball machine? So when you got into pinball and you found out there was a Space Jam machine, I mean, how excited were you?
Pretty excited, to the point where on Pinside, you can see who owns certain games around you. And I mass emailed probably 20 people within like 4 hours of me to see if anybody would sell them. And one of them worked.
Nice. So you cold called to get one.
Yeah, no, it paid off.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how long have you had a Space Jam?
Probably 2019, 2020. Like, nice. Right before COVID, I think, is when I picked mine up.
And you still love it?
I still love it. And I actually was the person who did the coloring of the color DMD. So that's another reason why I have some investment in it,
whoa.
Too. Like, I put a lot of hours into that thing.
So you do love Space Jam. So you're perfect to have on the show. When I reached out to you to join the show and asked if you had a Die on This Hill game, you said, Space Jam? And I was like, yeah, I think that qualifies. Because all the good things you talked about it, which I went out and refreshed my memory. I went out to Next Level out here in Hillsboro, Oregon for spring break. And so I got to go out there and they had a Space Jam and I got to play it and refresh my memory. And what John was saying is true. I think it's got two basketball hoops on the game. It's got like your skill shot is kind of a launch, jump launch into a small mm-hmm. basketball hoop, which is super cool. Although it seems to take no skill to hit it every time, but it is cool. Like, correct, it's, yeah. as far as like, you're like, you could just pull the plunger and it kind of always goes in. But I mean, I'm sure you can miss it if you tried, but you'd have to be trying to miss it, I think. And then it's got another bigger hoop with a magnet in it. And it's got another, like the left ramp has like a little lip at the top and it's supposed to bounce up, you know, hit that backboard, mm-hmm. drop in through the basket there. So you're scoring baskets because it's a basketball theme game. I think the fit and finish of the game looks pretty good for a Sega from that era. I do have a soft spot for Segas from that era, and the previous Data East games, they show up a lot on this Die on This Hill series, but they were also the smaller company at the time. They had less market share. Stern now is the 800-pound gorilla in the pinball manufacturing space, but in the 90s, they were running second to Bally Williams and the games that they were making. And the thing about pinball is it's a manufacturing process. The line has to keep moving. So if you're not selling as many units, guess what? Your next game has to come out now. Because you didn't sell enough units, so you get less time on your next game,
sure.
and your next game, and your next game. So what modern players typically hate on some of these games for is like lack of code polish or, you know, modes. It's just less than if you're comparing a Bally Williams game, and certainly if you're going to a modern day comparison. If you're a modern player that really, really likes the deep modern rule sets, even the Bally Williams games of the 90s aren't going to cut it for you. But yeah, I got to play Space Jam, and I played a few games on it, and I will say I had fun. It was fun. I don't know if I love it as much as John here, but I didn't hate it. I had a good time, and it's been a while since I had played one, but it was fun. Unfortunately, the reason why you're on the show is that your opinion and my opinion of, yeah, it's fun, that's not the consensus opinion on the internet. So, like I said, it's currently one approved rating shy of officially joining it, but as it sits now at its average score rating, it would rank number 280 out of 290, which is really low, which is a little bit wild to me. Jeez, looking at that list, I'm like, it's nowhere near as bad as some of these other games right around it at the bottom of that list. But I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to start reading you these bad reviews. And I just want you to sort of react.
Oh, these are going to hurt.
I'm going to regret this.
Yeah. Don't take them personally. You love what you love. And hopefully there will be some other people out there that can hear your impassioned cries for Space Jam. And they'll be able to go out and play one and look at it through fresh rose-tinted glasses after they listen to this episode. Don't let the haters get you down, John, okay?
Okay, let's do this.
The first one I have is C. Scott 19 says, "This pinball seemed clunky and rough. Just wasn't smooth at all. I don't know if all Sega pinballs are like this, but if so, they can have them." What do you think about that review?
Not so fast, Doc.
Do you think it feels clunky and rough?
Other than being wrong? No, I mean,
I don't think so either. I don't, it didn't feel clunky to me. Clunky is not the word I would describe it. I will say the saucer shot is weird in the center of the play field.
Yeah, it is.
It's not, that should have been a scoop probably. I think the ramps are.
Oh yeah, mine gets torn to pieces because it's not.
Yeah, everyone I've ever seen is torn to pieces. Mm-hmm. Can I ask you, John, as a Space Jam super fan of both the movie and the pinball machine?
Sure.
Is that saucer supposed to kick out in different directions every time? Or is it...
Mine only goes to the left flipper.
Okay, so I was playing one, and I was kicking out wildly different, like wildly different. Weird. To the left or to the right, or even to like near the right out lane. And I thought it was, hey, this might actually be kind of like a sick little feature, like a, you know, like it, maybe it has like three little kicker arms in there or something. Like I didn't look super close at it, but I was like, oh, is this like a, you know, because I know on like Flash Gordon, they'll have that center saucer that'll either kick it towards you, it'll kick it up to the upper play field. And I was like, is this one of those where it just has like a different kicker on it? But maybe it was just loose or something. Well, it was striking the ball weird.
There's also a really weird switch in there. It's like just a... like if you bent a paperclip into a circle, like it's got, so that plunger can sometimes hit that too and get caught on it. And it might be something like that. I don't know.
I noticed that it had like little ring switches, like little wire ring switches in the saucers. Annoying. I'm like, what a weird switch. All right. So I got another one. Stained Undies says, MJ. That's all this game is. Bugs Bunny's annoying voice yelling MJ at you.
Bugs.
Hey, Mike.
The game's fatal flaws are the skill shot, repetitive and way too easy, and the toy backboard, which never seems to catch the ball. Toss in some bland-ass graphics and ear-drilling call-outs in that Space Jam.
All right, you pesky wabbit. I've got you now.
The basketball lock shot is chill, locks are clearly indicated, and the shot is fun and easy to hit with a backhand or forehand.
They liked that it was an easy lock shot, but not that the other stuff was easy. So I think that's kind of interesting. But what was it? Stained Underwear? I don't know if you can take his word for it.
Yeah, Stained Undies. Yep, Stained Undies. He seems to hate the art and he hates the callouts.
I mean, they're not great, but I think they're pretty theme appropriate. I definitely don't get offended looking at the art. I think it's exactly what you would want with a Looney Tunes Space Jam game.
Yeah, I think it's not, you know, the art's probably not as good as Spooky's new Looney Tunes game. And I was also looking at a Bugs Bunny's birthday ball today as well. And the art on that is really good. So I think if you're comparing like Looney Tunes games, it maybe is the weakest art package, but it wasn't heinous to me in any way.
Mm.
It didn't jump out to me. I was like, oh, this game's ugly. Like there's a lot of Stern games before they started in the early 2000s where I'm like, these are atrocious. Like CSI or 24, like those art packages.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
What is this? Like, what is this? It's so bad.
Yeah.
Because it's not even art, you know, like it's like, I think these Segas, it's like, it's all relative, right? Because like right after this, when they became Stern and started making those early Stern games, like nowadays, if listeners are listening to this, they're like, what do you mean? Stern has awesome art. You're like, yeah, there was a while there where they were making games with.
Oh, yeah.
It was ugly. Ugly. So this doesn't, I don't think it's super ugly. I didn't get to hear a lot of the call-outs because I was in a busy arcade, but take his word for it.
I mean,
he was offended by it.
Could be annoying if you don't like Looney Tunes. Right.
Yeah.
One thing I will say is the match animation, the Taz sound is about four times louder than the rest of the sound. So that's really annoying. So I'll give him that.
Okay. Small concession here.
Don't bring me here anymore, right?
Are you listening? Did you hear him? Did you hear him? That little brat is right.
Right.
Doug Gale Cowett says, just looking at the machine looks like it should be a pretty fun game to play, but stepping up to it is a different story. Maybe the game was intended for little kids, and so they kept it real simple. Or maybe that is simply the mode it has been set to every time I've encountered it in the wild. Three or more games in a row on this feels excruciating.
He's the one I want for Moron Mountain.
Hey!
Unless you're a hardcore fan of the theme, I see no redeeming quality. Although it's still better than Rogo.
That would be bad. You've got to give us a chance to defend ourselves.
Rogo is a machine that's famously hated by tournament players. That's a wild review. What do you think about it?
It is a very approachable layout. I get it. And the locks are pretty easy to get, and they just kind of get more wood choppy from there. But I think, I don't know if there's an adjustment. I've never thought to change this perfection that it is. but I'm sure if you wanted to make it more difficult, you could. But yeah, it is a very approachable layout. So I could see how they would say it's kind of kiddie.
He said three or more games in a row on this feels excruciating. That's a little much. That's a little much. He says only a hardcore fan of the theme. Otherwise, I see no redeeming qualities. No redeeming qualities? Like, I mean, you are a hardcore fan of the theme, so maybe you're not the right person to even ask this. Because
yeah, probably not.
I'm just like, I'm still like, I don't know. I played three games in a row on it. I wasn't in excruciating pain playing it. That's a wild one. But I got another one. We got Pinball says, this could have been a really cool pin with the MJ theme.
Squad at 6'6" from North Carolina, his Royal Awareness, Michael Jordan.
After a while, though, I found it very mundane with limited shots and all the ramp returns. Do you think it'd be better without the Looney Tunes and without Space Jam if it was just MJ dunking on somebody in a Chicago Bulls uniform?
No. I mean, they kind of did that with NBA, and that's worse.
Yeah. Well, and that's what we got to bring up is NBA by Stern. They basically took this layout and tweaked it, right? Like, it's very similar.
Yeah. Does it have a spinning disc, too?
It does. It's
kind of a little
disc.
Something different, I think. Yeah.
It is a little bit different. Like, they took out the skill shot basket, but like the jump ramp into the hoop is the same thing. It's the same exact mech in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
So they clearly went back to it. So it wasn't like it was a total dog.
Free design, I guess.
Free design. Yeah. I mean, they still modified it. I wonder, though, if it must have done well.
I've never played one.
It's not as good as Space Jam. So, like, of the two, I think it's weird. Dang. That I think Space Jam's better. I don't know. Maybe the rules are better on NBA. I haven't spent a lot of time on it either. They're both fairly rare
Space
games.
Space Jam like that. Yeah. Yeah. I hadn't played one before I got one, so I had never even played the game before I wanted to get one.
I'm pretty sure that they only made about, like, 800 Space Jams. So.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a really rare game that you're probably still only able to get for a good price because so many people trash it. So I guess that's the benefit of.
Yeah.
You know, the benefit of it. Because otherwise, if people thought this game was excellent, it'd be expensive. You know, it's not. Yeah, it says 800 produced of Space Jam. So.
Wow. I had no idea, honestly.
But it must have done well on location or something for Gary to then be like, we should do this again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? As NBA. Yeah, so NBA has a listed production run at 250. I don't know how accurate that is, because that's when Stern kind of stopped really trying to give you production numbers, but they redid it as NBA in 2009, listed at 250. So it has a higher average rating than Space Jam.
And I think for all the reasons people are saying that it's too easy is probably why it would have done well, just because it is that kind of approachable, have fun sort of game.
Yeah, I bet it was probably Gary saw, because Gary's been in the pinball industry, you know, since he was a teenager, right? With his dad, Sam Stern, and all that kind of stuff. And so he knows the business and he knows operators and distributors. So he's probably like, oh yeah, we didn't sell a lot of these games, but when it was on location in the test markets, you know, operators are pulling out buckets of quarters, right? So he was probably like, we'll just do it again, and then this time we'll sell them. But again, they didn't. So
yeah, mine earns pretty darn well for what it is too. So I can attest to that.
There you go. Right? Like sometimes you need a good gimmick on a pinball machine. I think this game has some cool gimmicks.
Mm-hmm.
Center Flank says, this one didn't do anything for me. Sorry.
I wet myself.
So at least he's like apologetic. He's like, no, you know, not for me.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Which I think that's polite. Actually, Pinball Loner says, I played this yesterday. The shots in Space Jam are similar to Sega's Star Wars machine.
All right, the party's over. Get in the spaceship.
Annoying and boring. If you start one mode, you need to complete it or lose the ball before you can start another mode. Annoying.
More on mountain. Here we come.
The animations on the dot matrix screen are so-so. Tweety Bird looks awful is but one example. The Roadrunner bit is cool for a quick second, and I love Daffy, Bugs, Porky, and Tweety, but didn't care for the film or this pinball machine. So he says annoying and boring. He also says the shots are similar to Sega's Star Wars. That game is trash.
So like the trilogy?
Yeah, that game, Sega, anyone who's listening, if you like Sega Star Wars, I would love to have you defend that game, because I truly think that game is horrible. Does it shoot that way? Have you played Sega Star Wars?
So I played, I played it at TPF pretty recently. So I didn't get any hint of that. Maybe, I mean, the left or the right ramp on Space. I can't really put that together. Like there's weird shots all over Star Wars trilogy. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't get that at all. I don't know why he says that. I guess there's the lower, I don't know. I'm looking at a layout of it right now. I don't see it. But he also said annoying and boring. And then he said, if you start one mode, you need to complete it or lose the ball before you can start another mode. Okay.
This is making me question my Space Jam knowledge. But
they don't time out?
I thought they had a timer. And a lot of them, you start at that wabbit hole. Or that just sounds weird to say.
Yeah, you said it out loud. The wabbit hole.
The scoop in the middle. The wabbit hole.
Are there any other areas besides basketball where you find yourself unable to perform?
But I'm pretty sure they're timed, but I've never noticed being locked out of anything on that progression.
Well, it's pinball loneries. He's comparing it to Sega Star Wars, which is interesting. Anyway, I have a review from someone called Donald Duck. He says, just not a very good pin.
Oh, he's got to love it.
No, he does not love it. He says, just not a very good pin and much too easy to get to Final Jam. Not a lot of meat on the bone here, with much of the gameplay and shots being far too easy. The best feature is the background scoring with Magnet, and it being themed with Michael Jordan. It scores better than the average Sega from this time period.
Yeah. Very smooth.
She's obviously nuts about me.
But it's just not a game you want to play over and over again. unless you like limitations and all too simplistic gameplay. Also, if you have a rabbit hole that's chewed up, like most, a design flaw rears its ugly head in that it can pop in that hole, immediately pop out, but not before activating the switch, which can put you into video mode, which deactivates the flippers, thus your ball drains. Very poorly executed, but at least the video mode is pretty fun. Facts are facts. It was programmed... Oh, this is bad. Facts are facts. It was programmed by lazy coders that continue to this day to, well, code lazy.
One small step for moi. One giant leap for Moron Mountain.
While it's not a terrible pin, it's far from a great one. While I personally don't mind the showcase bubble back box, it's a stupid design for transporting the game, which is why it didn't last. For a basketball fix, I think Gottlieb Shaq is a much better overall game.
Basketball it is.
Basketball.
Oh boy, oh boy.
Whoa.
There's a lot on that one.
Yeah, this is... I don't like his last paragraph here, where he said, facts are facts. It was programmed by lazy coders that continue to this day to code lazy. Like I said, Lonnie Rapp and Oren Day are listed as programmers. Those guys worked for Data East and Sega, and Lonnie for sure, and maybe Oren even still does, but Lonnie for sure is still coding games at Stern to this day, and he's not a bad coder. I like a lot of Lonnie's games in particular, and I played Oren's games that I also really like, so I don't really appreciate the slander that this guy's talking about them. Like I said, I think for these guys, it's not about their passion for pinball or their skill set. It's like sometimes they're not given the time and resources to, you know, flesh out a rule set to this guy, to Donald Duck's, you know, personal taste. And that shouldn't be on them. And he's like sort of sound, he's like feels like he's holding a grudge to this day. That's crazy. But he did, well, he did bring
Lonnie's up. He's got this weird reputation.
Right?
But people, for some reason, dog on him for, I don't know if it's Star Trek or I don't know, but yeah, it's kind of unwarranted, I think.
But Star Trek's a great game. You're talking about Stern Trek, right?
Yes. Well, and yeah, I don't know if it's they people think he takes too long or whatever, but.
He also did Guardians, which I know launched with like pretty bare bones code that nobody liked, but now it's like one of my favorite Spike 2 games. Like I love Guardians. I think Guardians is rad. And I love the rule set of it. That's a big part of it.
Yeah, it's good.
And then Lonnie did Tron with Lyman, and he did Iron Man with Lyman, which are two of my favorite games. Those are older Sterns, but I love those games. And Lonnie, so I was like, I like Lonnie Rapp games. It's ridiculous, man. Screw you, Donald Duck.
He was having a bad day, I think, when he wrote that.
He even says it scores better than the average Sega, but then just dogs on them for being lazy coders. And it, what's crazy, okay, so let's talk about, he did bring up this. He said, you have a rabbit hole that's chewed up, like most. A design flaw rears its ugly head. You pop in that hole and immediately pop out, but not before activating the switch. Puts you into video mode, but that deactivates the flippers. Thus, your ball drains. Very poorly executed. At least the video mode's pretty fun. Video mode is fun, and that does sound like it sucks if that's happening on your game. That didn't happen to me when I was playing, but like I said at the top of the episode, like I could see that saucer is a little bit weird. Should have been a scoop because and like we said about it does have weird switches on it, so I could see this happening, and that I could see how that would be insanely frustrating as a player if you're if you go to put money in a game
for
and you play that and that happens.
I've never had that happen on mine and never had it reported.
I'm gonna need to move on. We need a palate cleanser for that one. Nitro Mikey says, if you're looking for a one-off looking machine that doesn't fit in well with even a System 3 Gottlieb, you have come to the right place. Lackluster play and unusual cabinet back box design take away any hope of this being an eye-catching pin.
I say I resemble that remark.
So it seems like he just doesn't like the way the machine looks, I guess. Is his only complaint? Only listed complaint.
And how you responded to Donald Duck is how I feel about this person. I am deeply offended by that.
Yeah, right? Like, that's crazy. I don't like him dragging in. This is a common thing too when I see people write bad reviews for like Data East or Sega games when we do these Die in the Hills, or even like the lesser thought of Bally Williams games that we've done. Everyone always goes, they always go, well, at least it's not a Gottlieb, or even Gottliebs are better than this.
Right.
And that drives me crazy. Now, Gottlieb at this time in the 90s, when he says System 3, he means DMD Gottliebs, which are admittedly not their best era, but there are still some fun games mixed in that. And Gottlieb was for 30 or 40 years the industry leader in pinball, and that's where we got our name. Wedgehead was a nickname for their single player EM machines and the wedge shaped back box. So I'm always just like, why is everyone dragging Gottlieb's name, dude? Keep Gottlieb's name out of your fucking mouth.
You're right.
Just like everyone always has to be like, I'm throwing shade on this machine, and then I gotta like crossfade with the system Gottlieb hate, and I don't get it. Like, anyway,
it's cool to hate them.
It is cool. It seems like everyone's willing to hate those. So if we actually need to do more System 3 Die in this Hill. So in the future, if anyone likes System 3 Gottlieb games, you want to join the show and defend one, I'm your man. Send me an email to wedgeheadinfo@gmail.com. Tell me which one you want to defend and we'll set it up. Eddie says, played it and didn't like it. A bit of a low point, in my opinion, for Space Jam fans only. How does that?
You might be right.
Do you think you would like it if it was not Space Jam?
I think it could go both ways. Like if it was a more serious adult theme, not adult, but like not for children, like everybody's suggesting, maybe. I think the theme kind of clouds people's judgment both ways. Like clearly mine.
Right. Yours is for the good.
Theirs too. It's just not something. Right.
Yeah. Right. And then for other people, maybe for the bad, like it's only for kids, which is funny because that comes up in a lot of these too, is there's like a lot of like middle-aged men typically are on a pin side writing, and they're always, they always say it's kiddie or it's only for kids or this game's only for kids.
But they're the ones like screaming for Goonies and Labyrinth, like stuff from their childhood. They would desperately want to buy. Which is kind of interesting.
Exactly. Exactly. It's just not their demographic, right? But also these games were made when location pinball was king. You weren't selling to the home market. So this was a hot license at the time. And it made sense. I'm actually surprised. I know this is like the downturn in the later 90s. You know, this is 96 when they're selling less units of pinball machines. But I'm still surprised that it only sold 800. It seems very low.
Me too.
It's surprising. I wonder what the story is on that. I got two more reviews, and then I'll let you off the hot seat. But Geo Ninja says, the gameplay is very bad. Too simple, with just one ramp to jump your ball. Where is Bugs Bunny? I bought this pinball, and after 4 weeks, I sold it. Never want to play it again.
Yeah, finished? Great speech and all, Doc. You had him riveted, but...
It does have two ramps, though, right? He says one ramp, but there's two ramps.
For sure.
Like
he mentions the ramp that is like the iffy ramp, but not the main right ramp.
Yeah, the right ramp is a big, swoopy, nice plastic ramp that's that you can loop.
Oh, it's super fun to hit.
Huh. He bought it, and after 4 weeks, he sold it. Too simple. Gameplay very bad.
Because where's Bugs Bunny?
And where's Bugs Bunny? I mean, he's in the game. Right? I guess he's not in the game enough.
He's talking constantly.
Right. He's always just MJ.
Right.
All right. So I'll get to the last one. This is, I'm going to warn you in advance, this is one of maybe my favorite review I've ever read. We had one the last time on Sinbad that was really good. This is a good one. And it's short. Adam the Gamer says, Space Jam is my personal least favorite pin of all time.
Don't be embarrassed. Just face it. You guys stink.
Come on, Mike.
I've never played any game that left me more disappointed in my entire life.
Oh, brother. Here I am, in the peak of my form, playing second banana.
Yep, yep, yep.
Sort of a harebrain.
Reactions?
So
no other context. That's his comment.
Yeah. It must have hurt him real bad. I don't understand.
Were you expecting that? Like, do you have a game, putting you on the spot, but like, do you have a game that sticks out in your mind as, because everyone has the worst game they've ever played, right? Like, what do you think yours is? I mean, it's clearly not Space Jam. I didn't think, I know it's not well regarded, but it,
yeah.
I was surprised to hear that because I'm like, whoa, you think this is the worst
game?
Yeah,
I would think it's, I was expecting more mid-tier, like, I mean, I guess we wouldn't be talking and it wouldn't be that low if it was all mid-tier, but yeah, I'm a little surprised. I have a lot of grace for games, apparently, because I generally like most games, so this is really destroying my case for this one.
I love the guys in Boston that came on and did Popeye, but I really dislike that game. And after going back and replaying it, I'm like, I really don't like that game. I really don't like Road Kings.
Yeah.
Which is a Mark Ritchie game.
Road
which,
Kings I do not like.
Yeah, that game sucks. And I love Mark Ritchie. That's the worst part, is I love that dude. Mm-hmm. I'm a ride or die Mark Ritchie fan. Episode 2, we talk about Mark. I love Mark Ritchie games. I just don't like that one at all. And Alex, my co-host, he has an Ultraman, and I've been on record. I was like, I don't like this. I like a lot of spooky games that they make, but I definitely don't like that one at all. Like, I'm excited to see
that. I've never played Ultraman.
It's like Hollow. I mean, my main problems aren't that, like, I think the art's good, and I think that they put the clips in, and it's pretty good. I just don't like the, I think the layout is so clunky and bad. Everything feels bad to me.
Yeah.
In a way that's like everything just kind of clunks around and the main ramps are really wide on the lower play field. You're always into the side hedges or whatever. And then it has to roll down. It has a servo that lifts it up. And it just, you always end up there on accident. And the ramp goes from like, and it just kind of clunks around and is weird. You know, like it just feels bad. And then there's like an upper play field and the ball will just like drop through a hole and then drop into the back of a scoop, you know, or a subway or something, and it'll count that shot as if you hit the lower scoop
wacky
on the play field. Like, I'm just like, just like the kinetic satisfaction is not there for me. But I'm very excited to play their new games because they look really good. I love Rick and Morty and I love TNA. And like I said, their Looney Tunes Texas Chainsaw, like, oh, this is a big jump to me. Like, this looks really good. I'm pretty excited to play them.
I played it at Texas.
I don't like to hate on a lot of these games. And I'm like you, like I have a higher tolerance of like, sometimes it's just fun to play a game that I don't get to play a lot. Is this the game I want to play every day for the rest of my life? I just, no, maybe not. But like, it's only a handful of games that really stand out as like, oh, I don't like this at all.
Right.
Oh, I'll tell you when to get the fans riled up before we get out of here on this episode. Because I know it has, there's like a lot of tournament players that like this game. But Mustang by Stern, trash. If anyone's listening, I hate that game. If you want to come and defend it, I'd love to have you defend it. So just throwing that out there.
Yeah, that one's kind of interesting. I've only played it like 3 times, so I guess I don't have too strong of an opinion.
I've always heard it as like people are like, no, it's actually really good. It's got really good rules and like tournament players seem to like it. Rhodesy had one. He brought it into Wedgehead, like as we were building out Wedgehead like 6 years ago, and he brought it in. He brought it in with a Target Alpha, and we were playing Target Alpha, which is an EM with a lot of drop targets, rad game. And then he brought that in, and we're playing it. And in the middle of it, it's just like multi-ball. We're just playing it and just crushing it. I'm in the middle of ball two, and I'm just like, this game sucks, dude. Take it out of here. And he's just like, he's like, no. And I was like, he's like, I brought it. It'll just be like on our work breaks or whatever as we're building out the space. I was like, I don't even want it stinking up the joint. Like, I just don't want it here at all. And then I was like, look me in the eyes and tell me it's good. Because Rhodesy's like a contrarian. He could see that I don't like something. So he wants to like tell me, you know, he's like, no, it's actually pretty good, man. And then he was looking at me. I was like, tell me it's good. Tell me it's good. And even he couldn't do it. Even he was like, all right, I guess it's not that good.
Well, I'm excited for the person who comes on and defends that one.
Yeah, somebody will.
That'll be a good one, you and them.
Yeah, somebody will enjoy it. There's a guy in the local scene, William. So, William, if you're listening to this episode, I know you love this game. Come on the show and defend it. Yeah, I want to thank you, John, for joining me on another episode of the Wedgehead Pinball Podcast. For anyone listening, I hope this cleared up some things about Space Jam. It's crazy low rated. Like I said, we've done a few of these Die on the Hill segments now, and this is the lowest rated out of all of them, which is crazy. But want to thank John for coming on the show to defend it. And for anyone listening, this is your time. Get on the pinball map. See if there's any way there's a Space Jam on location near you. If you're in the Springfield, Missouri area, John has a Space Jam on location for you to play. For everyone else, it might be for a show. Look for it on a floor. If you ever find one, play it for yourself and make up your own mind. Until next time, good luck. Don't suck.
Everybody get up, it's time to slam now. We got a real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Space Jam. Here's your chance, do your dance at the Space Jam. All right. All right.